So today we're studying Vayikra chapter 24, which is the chapter that comes immediately after the very structured chapter that we had yesterday. So it's the chapter of Mi'adei Hashem, all the Mi'adim. Now, what we have here is really a very logical continuation to the story, to the parsha, the halachas of the holy days, because what we have now is two small parshas, which, as I've titled them, Avodat Tmidus, which are really the laws of the karbonas, or of the sedi stet karbonas. Of course, there's a karbon tumah that wasn't mentioned here. It's mentioned in the parshas Tetzav already, and as well as in parshas Tzav, if I remember correctly, in some way. And this parsha is somehow a connection, a continuation of those parshas. But what it adds is the two mitzvahs of the menorah and the lechem apunim, both of which were mentioned already also, as we discussed in parshas Terumah, when it gave us the kelim, the building, the creation of the Mishkan, talked about both of these things. But apparently, these are two things that were important to mention here again in the context of how the rhythm, the time, rhythm and time of the Avodas HaMikdash goes. So, just like there's a rhythm of special times, there's also the rhythm of daily time, which are specifically maybe something more connected with the elevated idea of the Mi'adim is in these two daily and weekly, really, set avodas of the menorah and the shulchan. And they add some details. There's some details added, which we didn't have in the previous parshas of the menorah. The Ramban discusses here and in Baal Yischa, which is another time where it says the menorah, what is added each time, although it's questionable if these are really things we wouldn't have understood from the previous parshas, but I think that it belongs in this context, as I've discussed. So the first parsha is Tzavas B'nai Yisrael. They should take Shem and Zayas for the menorah, pure Shem and Zayas. That's the first mitzvah. This was literal, the same exact words were already said in Parshas Tetzaveh. So there's a mitzvah of having the correct kind of oil for the menorah. Also, the next pasuk was more or less said already. It says, you should, where the menorah should be put, and outside of the parochus, in other words, not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but outside of it. And it seems like this is not only like a TV outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it seems to also somehow belong to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it seems like the menorah somehow belongs really to the Shechina, which is resting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the light is outside. And when is it done? Me'erev ad boike, from evening to the morning, so every night basically. Lefnei Hashem tomed, and this is also something. So if you watch this parsha, you'll see that every part of it finishes tomed. Same in the next parsha, something similar. Seems that's where I got my idea that said that this is the daily, the tumid rhythm, right? It's not the carbon tumid, but the avoidus tumid. So lefnei Hashem tumid, lefnei Hashem tumid, lahalis ner tumid. These are the three endings of each verse in this small parsha. So that's the second one. The third one, here there's something added, according to the Ramban and others. It's added that these neiris should be on the menorah Torah. This is, I think, one of the only times, it might be one more time, where the menorah is called a menorah Torah. Literally, Torah is not some kind of spiritual thing. It just means that it's made out of pure gold. This is contrary to the other kelim, most of them, which were not made of pure gold. They were covered with gold. But the Mizbeach and the Ora and all of the other things, the Shulchan, were not created out of gold. The menorah was created purely out of gold, so it's special in that sense. And the neiris, which are not part of the menorah, neiris are the, not candles, the lamps that are put on top of the menorah, should be on top of it. So they somehow had some way of connecting it, of course, where it came like sort of into one thing, but it's not like you light directly in the menorah. You put lamps on top of the menorah, and that's also lefnei Hashem tamid. So that's the parsha of the menorah. Then we have one more parsha, which is the Lechem Haponim, and it's in the same way that the parsha of the menorah started with the ingredients, right? Lefnei Hashem, the Vikcho Lech Hashem Mezai Zach. In the same way, the parsha of the Lechem Haponim starts with Lakachta Soila. So you just like you have to have pure oil, you have to have pure soilas, pure flour, a very well sifted flour, and you bake from it 12 challis, 12 breads. And each one made out of two esroidim, so that's the way the Torah always counts for esroidim. And these are put in two rolls, shteim maruchas. Also, this is another thing where this menorah and the shulchan are similar. Both are said to have maruchas, right? Yarech oisai, there's a marucha. In one place it's called explicitly neres hamarucha. Marucha just means a line or a row, something organized. We have also maruchos Yisrael, which is the lines in an army where they set up self up for war or for battle in a line. Here, these are also set up in a line. So both the Shulchan and where is it set up? So two of six, right? So we had 12, so they're getting the two lines. On the Shulchan HaTor, and here also the Shulchan is called Shulchan HaTor, and that's already unclear, because Menorah HaTor, we understood a second ago, that means that the Menorah is pure, made out of pure gold, but the Shulchan is not made out of pure gold, so it's not entirely clear why the Shulchan here would be called pure. I don't know right now. And now, besides for that, on these two rows, al hamareches, on these organized rows of breads, we put levoina, which is a good smelling thing. Levoina was also put into the ketores. So pure levoina, same, everything here is pure. This kosis lamor, shemezai zach, soilless, pure flour. And the same thing, levoina zaka. And this is la lechem laskuret. This seems to function in the same way as the levoina put on the menuchas. So that lechem apunim is a kind of menucha. It's a kind of offering of grain, not of animal, but of grain. And as we've discussed in the parsha of menuchas, always the most of the menucha, at least, is not burnt on the mezbech. It's not offered entirely on the mezbech. But we put levoina on that. Levoina is offered besides for a kmitza of each menucha. But there's no kmitza. So the levoina becomes the askura. It's what reminds it. It's the part that actually gets given to the mizbech. Now this is done not every day, but each Shabbos. Be'yema Shabbos, so this goes back to the Shabbos with which the story of the Mi'adim started. Shabbos, every Shabbos, it goes back. We order it. We order it on the table on Shabbos. And this is Me'ez B'nei Yisrael, so similarly to the Shemen Zayis, which is Vik Tzavas B'nei Yisrael Vik Kualecha, and other places it says explicitly Me'ez B'nei Yisrael, the Parshas V'Aloischa and the Tzava. And here, this is also Me'ez B'nei Yisrael, so they give this flour, and then they don't eat it. Who eats it is Aharon and his children eat it, the Kehanim eat it, they eat it B'mukim Kodesh, because it's Kodesh, like the Chatos, like the Oshem, Karbonis, which are considered Kodesh, have to be eaten B'mukim Kodesh, they can't be eaten everywhere, only in the Azorah. And Chakoylam is mentioned many times of Hayikra. It means the law that is forever, for always, but also here has the meaning of something that is given. So I think originally the word Chak might come from that, like Chak la Kehanim, something that is a portion given to the Kehanim forever. This is their portion, and this is always their portion. That's what belongs to them, and that's who eats it. So that's really the end. This is really the end, in certain sense, the end of all of these parshas, this whole series of parshas of Kedusha. Now we get, also in this chapter, although it's entirely new thing, what we get is now a story, a narrative, and as we've discussed in the beginning of Vayikra, this can be said to be the only narrative in Sefer Vayikra, in other words, the second one. There's one narrative, which is the story of the Hakamas HaMishkan, including mostly the story of Nodav Aviv, which can be said as to be a narrative. But here we have the story of this Ben Ischer Israelis who was Nekev Es Hashem, Vayikalel, and there's a story of his punishment. But just to be very clear, there is some story here. Of course, the story isn't mentioned. Like, we don't get the background, we don't get what's going on, what was the reason, what was the fight about. So we don't really get a story here. Like, there isn't really a human story. It's more that the story is a framing for the law, as we've seen. In some sense, Nodav Aviv also comes to frame certain laws, Yain V'Shechar, or maybe all the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. In some sense, we've discussed then. If we haven't learned it officially, we still discussed it, really. In any case, this has the structure of many narratives in the Torah whose function is only to get us to say, like, there was a question, and because of this question, we need to get the answer. And the answer is a certain law, and that law is Chak Olam, right? That law is not just answering a specific particular problem in time and place. It's the time in which this law was given, so to speak, or I don't even know if we can say that so much. We can say more like, this is the framing in which the law is given. So this is also really a parsha that's here to tell us a law, and it explicitly has the framing of not knowing a certain law and then it being taught, which is a framing which we have, I think, two other times, at least three other times in the Torah. Not many stories that go like this. In any case, this is the story. And as I've said here, I think that the main reason why this story belongs here, so one reason I said is because this is a framing for law. As we'll see, the parsha, so we have the story, and then here I wrote it as a narrative. I'm going to change it to be the font of a law, because this is really a parsha of a law. It includes also the halacha, what's the onish of someone who's mekalel es Hashem, but also the onish for all kinds of nezek, which is something which was apparently missing from the laws of Sefer Vayikra. There's kedoshim, there's a lot of laws, but there isn't these basic laws which are in Parshas Mishpatim, in Sefer Shemos, we had them, but it seems like Sefer Vayikra also wants or needs his version of these laws. And this is the place where it's said as a continuation, b'derech agav, to the whole story of the Mekala. So this is the parsha of the laws. It's not only about Mekala as Hashem, it's also about every kind of damage or any kind of chavula, any kind of injury that someone injures another person. And we could talk about for a second about why that is agav that. That's something that belongs to the logic of Sefer Vayikra. But in any case, second thing this is doing is that this is, we could say very clearly, a story of Chilul Hashem. Just like we've discussed, all these stories are framed about the Indian of Kiddush Hashem. There's Me'adei Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh. All of this is how to be Mekadosh Hashem, Lefnei Hashem Tomed. It's Kodesh Kedusha Me'ishli Hashem. Everything is around this word Kedusha and Kedusha Hashem. And now there's also ways of being Mechalel Hashem. And there's like primary ways maybe, and then there's secondary ways of how, what kind of Chilul Hashem, and therefore what the punishment, what the law of someone who's Mechalel Hashem is. And this is given in a story, maybe because similarly to the story of Netuvi, it's not proper for the law to acknowledge the concept of Chilul Hashem without saying, oh well, this happens, there'll be something that happens. So that sort of gives us the excuse to talk, to relate to this kind of like Chilul Hashem. Otherwise, like just talking about the law of Chilul Hashem would be a shtickl Chilul Hashem. Maybe that's why there's a narrative about it. So there's a story of someone, Ben Ish Yisraelis. It says, it's weird because this is one of the ways in Vayikra sometimes cuts up like a sentence. Really, the continuation of the sentence, I think, is here. V'shem ima Shlem is Baz Divri. So there's a person, his mother is Jewish. She has a name, Shlem is Baz Divri, from Matei Don. Her name is not mentioned in the beginning. It's mentioned to Pesukim and the second Pesuk. But in any case, and we understand that apparently, by omission, we understand that his father was not Jewish. What was the story? Of course, there's a medrash that imagined what the story was. But there's something off with this person. And sometimes just means like a story started. Like, I'm not sure it literally went from somewhere to somewhere. But they had a fight in the camp. Some unnamed Ish Israeli, who was apparently not only maternally Jewish, he was also paternally Jewish. And as it seems here that there's something called a Ben Yisraelis, which doesn't make him entirely Yisraeli. Of course, the halacha is just the opposite. And they have a fight. And now, as part of their fight, and apparently as part of this person being mad at the concept of Yisrael, so of course we can imagine, we can fill in the story by ourselves, he is Noikiv as Hashem, so he takes, Noikiv is not clear what exactly the verb means, right? Makes it explicit or something like that. The name of Hashem, we know, we don't even say it at all. And apparently that might be a elaboration of this, archava of this, because like just saying someone's name sometimes in the way of honor is not to say someone's name, or we speak about it in third person and so on. So he says the name and Vayakalel. Of course, just saying the name isn't really the issue here, but it's part of the like bizarre, part of the Chilul Hashem that he's doing. And is Mekalles Hashem. Now the people around, the Yidden, the judges that were made by Misra and so on, right? This is an example of they're being judges, as Yisra said, but they're not knowing what to do. Vadov Rakosha, Yivin al Moshe. They don't know what to do. So they put him in jail. V'necheb ha-mishmar. Lifresh b'hem to Moshe al-pi Hashem will tell them what to do. And as their expectations come true, Moshe, Hashem speaks to Moshe and tells them, Hoitze, so Vayetze Yisha Yisrael, so now Hoitze, take him out of the camp and bring him, everyone should be Soymech Yodam, so there's like a smicha, some kind of, we have this similar in different death penalties, like there's a smicha, like everyone, because somehow this person's chet is like pollutes the camp, so we have to like, it's similar to our karma, where you do smicha, we have to all like v'samchi and say that this is not us, we're purifying ourselves by this, v'rog mesa, and they stone him, so that's all of them, kola eda, and everyone. Now, what is, and then Velbnei Yisrael to Dabalem. This is a language that we had. This is not the first time we did this language, which is like a one dibber that Hashem sends to Moshe. And then Velbnei Yisrael to Dabalem. It's not clear to me. I will interpret it today as being something like this is something said like for once, like as if the answer to this question that they had today. But really, to Dabalem, speak it as a law. So make it a law. Put it down to the law book, right into the Chumash, right? Make it into a law for always. And ish is always the language that's fake, which sees any person, right? Any man, kikal lehav, v'nosach hetoy, who will carry his sin. In other words, what I think what this means is that he doesn't have a kapura. Like this is where one of the Mekoyim said, Chil Hashem en kapura ele misa. In other words, the Kehanim's job with the Kabonis is to be noise sachet. That's what they're doing all the time. But he will have to suffer his own sin. He will have to carry it, like suffer it. And what specifically will happen? So it's interesting. First it was Kale Lehav and now Noikiv Shem Hashem. I'm not sure how to read this in a simple sense. Like we said before, it says Veyuke Vayikalel, and here it's Tlit, like Yikalelav Nosachete, Venoikev Shem Hashem. So maybe Yikalelav, without being Noikev Hashem, doesn't get the Misa, but somehow if he does both, obviously Venoikev is not only if he says the name, if he's Mekalel. Sometimes we can say that Kova, we see Kova means curse, but like I said before, Vayuke Vayikalel, maybe that's not the same thing, maybe it is the same thing, I don't know. So he's put to death, and Kol Ha'eda. There's this Kol Ha'eda, the entire community has to stone him. So that, as I said, there's something like a pgam, like a chil in the entire community. Kager ke'ezrach doesn't matter. And this is very clearly, right? Just like this Bene Yisrael, this might have been only a ger. Maybe he wasn't considered an ezrach, but it doesn't matter. B'nak v'shem imas. And now we go on to laws of injuries. Laws of injuries, b'nodin l'chaver, not so clearly we say, the noikev shem Hashem is an injury benodon lamokim, right? He's mekalel es Hashem, he's mechalel es Hashem. And then you could be mekalel or makeh, not curse, but hit. The person, if you curse him, doesn't make a big difference, unless it's apparent, which is has more of a spiritual thing. But makeh kol nefesh odom osim is also put to death. And the feeling we get from this juxtaposition of these two laws is that makesh es chaveroi is ke'ili makeh b'shchina. In some sense, also machal es Hashem, as you murdering a person, as the Chazal would say, is betzelim elihim, and therefore her murdering a person is similar to kilas elim tuli, it's similar to murder, cursing God, and therefore you get the same death penalty. So that's a thing. And then, if you hit or kill someone who's not a human being, so makan nefesh behema, you don't get the death penalty. You shall mena nefesh tachas nefesh, you pay, let's say, one animal for the honor of the animal, and the same way, if for a lower thing, for things that are not death, but injury, you don't kill someone. Maka earlier means yakikol nefesh, he destroys his soul, right? In other words, he kills him. But if you don't destroy his soul, if you don't kill him, only you put a mum, then he gets what he got. Break, if you broke his bone, we break his bone. Of course, you know already the story, what this means in practice, but this is the logic of it. You get what you, so the logic is, you get what you've solved. You murder someone, you get murdered. In the same way, if you hurt someone, you get hurt. Maybe that can be changed for money, and that's still the basic logic of it. And if you hurt, now what about an animal that you only hurt? He didn't kill, not makeh nefesh behema, but makeh animal. He gets only paid. So the literal meaning is, if you injure a human being, you have to be injured. If you only injure, if you kill a human, right? You kill a human, you get death penalty. You kill the animal, you have to pay. Nefesh tachas nefesh. Maybe you kill your animal. Doesn't say exactly what happens. You injure a human being, you get injured. You injure an animal, you don't get injured at all. You only have to pay. Makeh odom yumas, it goes back, obviously, to makeh nefesh, right? Makeh odom yumas, I think, is only for some reason re-saying the law of Yakal Kol Nefesh Odom Oisimas. Not clear to me why. Maybe this is really should be short. Makeh Nefesh Odom Imas, Makeh Behemah Shalmena. Maybe these are the same thing. But we could think about why it says again. It seems like a recap. This is also something that the Pasuk does always. Of course, there's the rushes and things to explain. And all of this is for everyone. Kager Ke Ezrach, doesn't matter. The same law. Ke Neshem Lekechem, and there's the signature. And then we get the end of this. So this is salt, as if this whole long parsha, all these laws were given to Moshe at that moment, at that time when he spoke, when he asked Hashem what to do with this mekalel. And then they do it. They're mekayim. Moshe tells us to the Yidden, and they take the mekalel out of the camp and they stone him and they do what Moshe said. That's the standard ending for every time that Hashem says something and we follow it.